Isaiah 43, we're going to begin reading verse 1. We'll share a message entitled, My Confidence is in the Lord. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. Boy, what a good statement that is. Amen. It says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. And even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes, and deaf that have ears, and let all nations be gathered together, and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses, that they may be justified, and let them hear and say, it is truth. For ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. And before me there was no God formed, neither shall be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved, and I have showed, and when there was no strange God among you, therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake I have sent to Babylon, and have brought down all their nobles, and the Chaldeans, whose cry is in the ships. I am the Lord, your Holy One, and the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariot and horse and the army and the power, and they shall lie down together, they shall not rise, they are extinct, they are quenched as tow. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing, and now it shall spring forth, ye shall not know it. I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people have I formed for myself, and they shall show forth my praise. But thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob, thou hast been weary of me, O Israel. Thou hast not brought me the small cattle of thy burnt offerings, neither hast thou honored me with thy sacrifices. I have not caused thee to serve with an offering, neither wearied thee with incense. Thou hast bought me no sweet savor, sweet cane with money, neither hast thou filled me with the fat of thy sacrifices. But thou hast made me to serve with thy sins. Thou hast wearied me with thine iniquities. I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for my own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. Thy first father hath sinned, and thy teachers have transgressed against me. Therefore, I have profaned the princes of the sanctuary and have given Jacob to the curse and Israel to reproaches. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for this wonderful passage. We're thankful, Lord, that it reminds us of the faithfulness of our God. As God reminds Israel of his faithfulness to them. And Lord, we're thankful that God is the Lord God and there is none else. We're thankful that he is the Savior and there is no other Savior. And we're thankful, Lord, that we can have confidence and hope in the reality that we know the living God. And so, Lord, I prayed you'd encourage our hearts tonight, that we might sense a move and anointing and touch from you, that we might be empowered by your grace. Lord, that we might be certainly a witness of the things of God and the power of God to those who need the move of God in their life. And so, Lord, I pray if there's anyone here tonight not saved, that they might come to faith in Christ tonight, be able to be born again. Help us, Lord, as believers tonight, to walk in the truths of hope and confidence and strength in our eternal God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, our text verse is verse 1. It says, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine." This is a great chapter, chapter 43 of Isaiah, because it is a chapter that is a prophetic statement concerning the restoration of Israel. And it's amazing that God had promised that even though his people would be scattered abroad, that God would bring his people, Israel, back to their homeland. I've been doing some research and some studying on, because I have a two-part message I'm preaching. I preach this morning and then next week, and I'm praying about expanding some prophecy messages along with that. But it's amazing the amount of Jews around the world that are fleeing back to the homeland. And I believe that is prophetically watching God move in the heart of his people and bringing them to a place of fellowship with him and protection in their homeland. Through the passage, we read over and over again how God would deal with his people and acknowledging the fact that they were his people, that he would redeem them and save them and deliver them for his own sake. Not for their sake, for his own sake. And certainly they had nothing to be able to boast of and nothing that they could show forth that would testify the fact that they deserved anything that God would bring their way. And that certainly reminds us that there is nothing that you and I can do to deserve the merited favor of God in our life. But yet God will save us and God will redeem us because of his own sake, not because of our sake. And so, you know, it's a wonderful truth of the restoration of Israel. This chapter records for us history, prophecy, and promise. And God gives us some information here in the chapter about the history of Israel. He talks about them crossing through the Red Sea or crossing through the waters and he would part them. He talks about them walking through the fire. That certainly would speak to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego as they would be in the fire and God would deliver them out. And so we have historical statements in this chapter. We have prophetic statements in this chapter. And we also have promises that are declared in this chapter. What a great chapter. We could just go through verse by verse for the next 10 weeks and be able to pull this thing apart and see all that God has promised and why it's good for us to put our confidence in the Lord. Two times in this chapter, God says, "Fear not." He says it in verse 4, chapter 43 and verse 1. He says, "Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name. Thou art mine." We do not have to be afraid because God knows who we are and he is the one who calls us. In verse 5, he says it again, "Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west." And so God tells Israel they no longer need to fear because there is never a time when he is not with them. And I'm thankful tonight that there's never a time when God is not with us. So I don't need to fear man, for what can man do to us? Another thing you see in this chapter, and we're not going to look at every place that is mentioned, but the word I, the pronoun I, is used 32 times. And God uses it in reference to himself. "I am the Lord," he says. "I, even I, am the Lord. Besides me, there is no Savior." In verse 12, he says, "I have declared and have saved. I have showed." And it's amazing over and over again. Verse 13, "Yea, before day, the day was, I am he." I mean, so God 32 times acknowledges with the pronoun I his working and his person in the people's lives of Israel. And so literally what God is showing forth, that what he proclaims to do in the future is based on the fact of what he has done in the past. If God could deliver in the past, then he can deliver in the future. If God can comfort the heart and the soul in the past, then he can comfort the heart and the soul in the future. I can have confidence in the Lord. I am so thankful that when I got saved and when I felt God call me to preach, that I was able to go to Bible college with nothing, with no support, and go out and believe God and trust God to take care of me. Because one thing I know this, that I don't need to fear tomorrow, because I know that God is on my side and he is not going to abandon me. And I know God can take care of me tomorrow because he has always taken care of me in the past. I don't believe he's going to give up on me tomorrow. So it's important to know the promise of fear not and the reality of the presence of the personal God in the pronoun I. God is sovereignly in control of every purpose that he desires to accomplish in your life. So what a great chapter. So let's look at verse 1 and take this chapter apart. There's 3 points here in verse 1. My confidence is in the Lord. Why? First of all, because he created me. In chapter 43, verse 1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob. Now, God is encouraging through Isaiah, the people of Israel, he's encouraged them with a comforting thought that he was the creator of Israel. In other words, Israel was directed, this whole concept of being created was directed towards Israel, God's creation of a nation. I want you to know tonight that Israel is the apple of God's eyes, because it is God who chose to establish Israel as a nation and as a people. It is a very dangerous place for us to be as a nation in taking a posture against Israel. And because God had said, those that bless you, I will bless, and those that curse you, I will curse. And you cannot stand against Israel, and you can have your opinions, and you can say all kinds of things about Israel, and you can agree or disagree whether we should be connected with Israel. But the reality is, it is God who created Israel. And the creation of God was directed towards Israel because of his own choosing. How did it come about? In Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1 and 2 is the call of Abraham. We must never forget that God had called Abraham out of the land of the Ur of Chaldees. And his promise that he made to Abraham is that he would make him a mighty nation. You know, we can talk about nations and how they were formed and how countries come about and all that. But there is no nation like Israel that is literally developed and became a nation based on the fact that God calling a purpose man for that specific purpose to create that nation. In Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1, it says, Now the Lord said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto the land that I will show thee. And I will make thee, I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And so God directs this matter of creation towards Israel through the call of Abraham to leave the country where he was comfortable, leave his people that he enjoyed, his kindred and his family, to go to the place that God would call him to go, and that God would make of him a mighty nation. So let's never forget, when we talk about the confidence that we have in the Lord, that God had called Abraham to make a mighty nation called Israel. And listen, if God so did that in creating that nation through Abraham, then God is my creator. And if he's my creator, then I can have confidence that literally he has a plan and a purpose for me, and he can fulfill it as he so pleases and desires. Not only was the call of Abraham, but there was a promise of Isaac in Genesis chapter 26 in verse 24. Genesis 26 and 24, it says, The Lord appeared unto him the same night and said to him, I am the God of Abraham. And listen, when we talk about Israel, when we talk about God being the creator of Israel, we must never forget that over and over again, God so declares that he was the God of Abraham, because God called Abraham to establish a nation. He says, I am the God of Abraham, thy father, fear not, for I am with thee, will bless thee, and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. Now, once again, we see the creation, the will of God in directing and now establishing a people named and called Israel as we know it today. In Genesis chapter 32, in verse 28, there's the change that came upon Jacob. We know Jacob means trickster. We know Jacob had a characteristic of always conniving and doing things underhanded, so to speak. But God would meet with him, and God would wrestle with him, and God would change him into what he desired him to be. In Genesis 32 and verse 28, and he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince thou hast power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And may I say, when we talk about the confidence we have in the Lord as the creator, we can have confidence because we see his working and his fulfillment of his promises in the nation of Israel as he calls Abraham, fulfills the promise to Isaac, and he changes the very personality of who Jacob was into being a prince rather than being a trickster. And so Jacob is changed to Israel. God directed this creating power towards this nation that we rejoice in and we pray for, and that's Israel. But this matter of God being the creator, he says, I am the one, the Lord, that created thee. It's experienced by all. In other words, God has created every human being on this face of this earth. There is no one who has evolved from any animal. There is no one that has come about by chance. But every person is created by God. God would create man out of the dust of the ground. In Genesis 2:7, that God created, he formed man out of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils, and he became a living soul. And tonight I want you to know that we can have confidence in the fact that God is the absolute creator of all life. And as he formed man out of the dust of the ground, he promised that because of man's sin, he would have to return to the dust of the ground, but the Spirit of God will return to God who gave it. God would breathe into the nostrils of man. He'd become a living soul. And yes, his body, because of sin, would have to go back to the dust of the ground, but his spirit and his soul goes into the presence of God. Why? Because God is the creator of all life. And all life is accountable to God. And so this matter of experiencing the creation of God, all of us are specifically and specially formed by the hand of God. Psalm 139. Listen, if people could get this concept down, this would eliminate the whole debate about whether abortion is acceptable or not. If God is the creator of every life, then that means that, wait a minute, every life is precious to God. And listen, it's not a matter of saying, well, I don't think life starts at conception. I think life starts when there's birth. No. If there is life that has been formed, then there is life that has been created by God. And so Psalm 139 in verse 14 says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, much of people's problems today would be overcome if they had confidence in God creating them and who they are. Used to people say, well, I don't like the way I look. I want to be taller. I want to be shorter. I want to be a blonde hair. I want to be black haired. We argue with God, and we are displeased with who we are because we forget that God is the creator who made us like we are. And so we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lower parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in the book, thy book, all my members were written, which is continuance, was fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! Literally, the psalmist is acknowledging,
even before the arms and the legs and the feet of that little baby in the womb is formed, already God knows what they're going to look like, and God knows what their characteristics are going to be, and God knows what is significant and different about that individual child above the difference between all other children. Why? Because he is the one who has created me. Oftentimes, I listen, over the years, you know, growing up, teenagers deal with this being accepted. They want to be accepted in the group, and they feel like they don't fit in because they may not look like someone else, or they might not have the skills that someone else has, whether it be computer skills or athletic skills. They have a hard time with accepting the reality that they're different than someone else. Listen, you need to accept who you are because God has so designed you and created you to be who you are. And so we need to be confident in the Lord. Psalm 103 says, Psalm 103 says, "Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." And so you and I can literally have confidence tonight in the Lord because he is our creator. And God has created me, and I don't need to be like anybody else. I remember when I was in Bible college, a lot of young men used to have problems because all they wanted to do was preach like some other famous preacher. And that's all they wanted to do, was be like somebody else. And they tried to copy and they tried to mimic these other preachers that they admired or whatever. And they would put themselves down because they felt as though they weren't as good as they should be. And they couldn't be like this other person was. And I remember Dr. Malone always just kept telling us, you be real. You be yourself. You're not anybody else. God created you the way you are. I remember years ago, Mrs. Malone, I love Dr. Malone, Mrs. Malone. I remember Mrs. Malone saying something to my wife and saying something to her in regards to saying, you know, she had to change her personality in order to be a pastor's wife. And I told her, I said, no, sir, that is not the truth and that is not the reality of things. You don't change who you are to be something that you think everybody else wants you to be. You live out your character traits that God has given you for God's glory, because God is the one that created you. There is so much foolishness that goes on in Christianity that creates so much discouragement and despondency, and we have no confidence in God because we're not accepting the reality that he is our creator. I'll tell you one thing, you'll not embarrass me to try to make me something I'm not. I know what I am, an old farm boy. That's all I am. You may not know I grew up on a farm, but I did. And I'm a truck driver, amen? And I was in the Marine Corps. And there's nothing fancy about me. What you see is what you get. That's all there is. I tried to be intellectual once, and I stumbled over my words. And I tried to memorize scripture like other people memorize scripture, and I kept forgetting the verses. And I just found this. I'm secure in the Lord. I'll open up his word and read it, amen? Then I don't make any mistakes. You say, well, you're just not as good as somebody else is. Then you're going to have to deal with your concept of it, because God created me in the image he wants me to be. And if God is satisfied with who I am, hallelujah, thank you, Lord, for making me who I am. So he created me. It gives me confidence. He directed his creative power towards Israel. Every individual on the face of this earth has experienced the creative power of God. And listen, every one of us are going to be accountable to the Lord in Romans 14:12. Every man is going to give an account of themselves to God. If God created me with a plan and with a purpose, then if he created me with a plan and a purpose, then I have to give an account of my life to him. And that's why, listen, that's why it's so important for us, every one of us, to discern what is the will of God for our life. Because God has given you talents and gifts and skills that others do not have. And God has a plan and a purpose for your life. And what a shame it would be to live all your life with no confidence of the will of God and the purpose of God in your life, and have to stand before God and give an account of the reality that, wait a minute, I created you for this purpose, and you denied it and rejected it and refused it because you wanted to be something else. Oh, that we might rejoice in the hope that God is my creator. So he tells Israel, he says unto the Lord, says, I am the Lord that created thee, O Jacob. Notice he says, and formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. So not only is he the one who created me, but he's the one that redeemed me. You know, I can rejoice tonight and be confident that I'm saved, not because of me and what I do. But I can be confident tonight and know that I'm saved because I know what the Lord has done. And he has saved me and he's delivered me. He has redeemed me. Well, this redemption is demonstrated through Israel. Since he directed his creative power towards Israel, then he demonstrated to us his redeeming power through Israel. We know the story. We just went through the book of Exodus on Wednesday nights, and Israel was in bondage for 430 years. And God would send Moses in there and deliver them. They were slaves. They had no talents. They had no money. They had no weapons. They had no generals. They had nothing. But Moses, who came, and they rejected him at the first, and then as Moses would come and deliver the word of God and stand before Pharaoh and demand that God's people be let go, that God, with his strong arm, would bring them out of Egypt through the power of the atonement of the blood that would be shed and put on the doorpost. And so they would be delivered and redeemed through the blood of the Lamb. There was no physical means. There was no material resources. There was nothing that they could have to redeem them from their bondage in Egypt other than the hand of God. And so I have confidence tonight that I'm saved. I've talked to people over the years, and they say, well, nobody can really know whether you're saved or not. Well, when you say that, just tells me you're not saved. Because if you're really saved, you know you can be saved. And I have the example of Israel, that God redeemed them through the blood of the Lamb, and because of that, he'll redeem me and set my soul free. So the demonstration through Israel. He is the Redeemer because of the fact that it is needed, this redemption is needed by all people. Just like he created all people need the redemption of God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we understand that. That's elementary to us. You say, well, preacher, this is a Sunday night crowd. I mean, we already know these things. Then why is it so many believers who have been saved so long have such many problems with despondency and discouragement? Listen, we need to have confidence in the Lord. He's still on the throne. He's still in control. He is still saving. He's still delivering. And he is still working in the heart and life of every man, woman, boy, and girl. And it'll work in their life. They all need the redemption of God. Well, what is the redemption of God? It is the release from bondage. May we never forget that. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 14, in 15, it says, for as many as are led up by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now, redemption is this. It is a release from bondage. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has set you free, and not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. I am afraid that we have created a salvation and a redemption that does not give confidence and hope because of the fact that we have demonstrated and we presented a redemption and a salvation that does not release people from bondage. And I want you to know tonight that if someone gets saved, they are released from the bondage of their sin. They are never, no more, bound up, caught up, chained up by the wickedness of their heart and their soul. They are no longer a prisoner of Satan. They are no longer condemned in this world because they have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah! They've been set free from the bondage. Listen, when Satan comes and hounds me, I plead the blood of Jesus Christ. When Satan starts to put me down, starts to work me over, I'm going to tell you one thing right now. I just remind him that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings, and he is the Lord of Lords, and he has redeemed my soul. You have no ability to touch my soul. You cannot condemn me. You cannot destroy me. You cannot tie me up. Hallelujah, what a Savior. He released me from bondage tonight. Remember, he redeemed me. In Psalm 51, in verse 10, this redemption is not only a release from bondage, but a promotion of character. In Psalm 51 in verse 10 says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." I'm telling you tonight, when you get redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, you receive a promotion of character. God creates in us a clean heart. God renews in us a right spirit. We are promoted into the and molded into the very image of the eternal Son of God. It is a promotion to get saved. People say, "Well, I don't know. I want to give my life to the Lord. I just don't want to give up on anything, and I don't want to lose out." Let me tell you something. When you get saved, you're promoted. When you get saved, you're not just released from bondage. You're exalted in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." I am thankful that the character of Mike Weigel cannot be called in question in reference to the character of Jesus Christ. I am thankful that I am in Christ, and because I am in Christ, I have his stamp and his image implied upon me. And because he is applied upon me, then I have a character that is above the wickedness and the foolishness of this world. I thought I was a pretty good guy, and I thought I had things pretty squared away before I got saved. But I'll tell you one thing, I couldn't get released from the bondage of booze. I couldn't get released from the bondage of cigarettes. I couldn't get released from the filthy language that I had. I couldn't get released from the wrong spirit and wrong attitude about life. But when I got saved, God promoted me and set me free from those things. Why? Because he redeemed me. That's why. And I want you to have confidence in the Lord. We're dealing with some pretty wacky stuff in the Sunday morning service. And the message this morning, it's going to get worse next week. Amen. So you might as well just get ready for it. But listen, don't you forget that you can still have confidence because of the promoting character of God when he sets us free and redeems us. Notice not only is it needed by all because it's a release from bondage and a promotion of character, but it's a position of provision and blessing. You know, Jesus said in John 14, 1 and 2, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you so. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." When you're redeemed, you have a position of provision and blessing. God gives us everything that is necessary to be able to live the Christian life and to show forth the testimony and the praises of God. Anything that you need in your life, God can take care of it. Anything that is necessary for you to bring glory to God, God will give it to you. 2 Peter 1 and 3 says, "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue." I'm here to tell you tonight that when I got saved, I got redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I entered into a relationship with a God that owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And listen, he can be glorified through me and providing for me in a miraculous way. I've been redeemed. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Amen. So I need to have confidence in God. I need to have confidence in life. I need to rejoice in the redemption of God. Not only did he demonstrate it through Israel, and we see that it's needed by all, but this redemption is secured in Christ Jesus. It's not secured in the church. Oh, how I've had people over the years, "Oh, I'm not going to church. You know, I don't like church. So-and-so said this in church, and so-and-so said that in church, and all this." Well, you know what the problem is? You're not secure in Christ. You're looking for security in people. You're looking for security in organizations. You're looking in security in experience. No, we're secure in Jesus Christ. And 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30 says, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. You and I are secure in the reality that is Jesus Christ, who has saved us and redeemed us and has given us wisdom and righteousness and everything else that we need to pertain to life. In Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Hallelujah. I'm secure in Christ Jesus tonight. In verse 7, Ephesians 1 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. I'm telling you, I have confidence tonight to be able to lay my head on my pillow at night and go sound asleep. I ask my wife, I go sound asleep real easy. All kinds of problems. I'll tell her all the problems and I'll roll over and go to sleep. She said, what are you? Then she stays up all night. Amen. I can go to sleep at night. You can talk about me. You can do whatever you want. I go to sleep at night. I go to sleep in the afternoon. Amen. I go to sleep anytime I stop for 10 minutes. I take a nap anytime. You're not going to make me have sleepless nights. There's no way. This world is corrupt and it's wicked. And I'm telling you, everything is falling apart. And tomorrow, financially, everything may be gone tomorrow. I'm going to tell you, it ain't going to bother me. I've been living a long time without a lot of finances anyway, so it ain't going to bother me a bit. That was like Dr. Malone, he used to say years ago. He said, the poor people in town thought we were poor, and it's how bad they were. He said, he'd sleep at night and look up through the roof of his house and see the stars through the roof of his house. He said, people said to him, Brother Tom, aren't you afraid? Don't you miss being back home? He said, what do I go back home for? He said, I lay in a bed and look up through the ceiling and see the stars at night. He said, at 4 o'clock in the morning, my grandparents get us up and makes me get up and start the fire. What in the world do you think I miss all that for? Have to go out and milk that cow. I don't miss it at all. Oftentimes what we do is we look for security in other things. We are secure tonight in Christ Jesus. He is the one who never changes. He is the one who never gives up on us. He's the one that never forsakes us. And listen, I want to help you to understand that you don't have to be downtrodden and discouraged. You can have your hope in the Lord. And so he's my creator. He created thee. He redeemed thee. Well, in verse 1 in our text, says, for I have redeemed thee, and I have called thee by name, thou art mine. What does that mean? He'll keep me. He'll keep me. He said, you're mine. You know, you can't get away from it. You're his. God has not forgotten Israel. God directed his creative power in establishing Israel as a nation. God demonstrated his power to redeem as he brought Israel out of bondage in Egypt. But I'm going to tell you, God over and over again shows us that he has not forgotten who his people Israel is. Sometimes we might think that he has turned his back on his people, but he has not. God has not closed his eyes towards Israel. In Psalm 121 in verse 4, Psalm 121:4 says, but behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. Oh, that we might realize, as God is the one who keeps his eye on Israel, then God certainly can keep his eye on you and me and care for us. In Zechariah chapter 2, God will keep his hand on Israel. And God has not lifted his hand off of Israel. Zechariah chapter 2 and verse 8 tells us, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory hath he sent me unto the nations which spoiled you, for he that touches you touches the apple of his eye. For behold, I will shake my hand upon them, and they shall be a spoil to their servants. And ye shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion. For lo, I come and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord. I'm going to tell you, God has not forsaken Israel. He promised in Isaiah 43 that they were his, they were called by his name, and they were his people. Thou art mine, and God has not forgotten Israel. What does that mean? That means God will not forget me. And I am in his hand tonight. You're in his hand tonight. John 10:28 says, I've given them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I want you to know that God has a hold of your life, and there's nothing that can pull you away from him. And I'm secure in the fact that he'll keep me. He watches over me. I'm in his hand. I'm in his care. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And knowing that he cares for every need that you have. I'm going to tell you, the heartache you have tonight, God cares about it. You say, nobody else cares about it. God cares about it. The needs that you have in your life tonight, no one else may not be aware of it, but I'm going to tell you right now, God's aware of it, and he can care for you. And so he's the one that will keep me. I have a confidence he will not forget me. I am in his hand, and I am in his care. But I am and will be in his presence. I am thankful that one day I'll be in the presence of God. I am just as much in the presence of God tonight as I will be in the future. Amen. You are just as much in the presence of God tonight as you will be in the future. Because God is with you. He abides in you. He'll never forsake you or leave you. Then so his presence is always with you. If that is the case, then the difference between heaven and here is just our position. I'm ready to leave here because of all the distractions. But I'm going to tell you one thing right now. When I get to heaven, it's going to be glorious because I'll be able to see him as he is. And I'll be able to visualize the reality of the one who is living in his spirit inside of me and knowing that he is present with me. I am and I will be in the presence of God. There is never a time, a possibility of me not being in his presence. Isn't that wonderful tonight that there's never a time where there's no possibility where you can't be in the presence of God because he has promised to take care of us. And so my confidence is in the Lord. I've learned I don't put my confidence in people. Amen. I love people. I care for people. I like socializing with people. I love trying to lead people to the Lord. I like sharing my faith. I like discipling. I like to do everything I can. When God called me to preach, I wasn't much as far as talking to people. Never really liked talking to people I don't know. But God put a burden on my heart for the hearts of souls and men and women, boys and girls. And I'm going to tell you, I love what God has called and enables me to do in ministering the word of God to people. But I'm going to tell you right now, I've learned people don't always do exactly what you want them to do. And they're not always there for you. You know, some of the people that I found this, the people that you invest more time in are the people that will turn on you the quickest. It's just reality. I'm just saying that because I'm sure you've experienced some of this. And what happens is people get out of church and they fall by the wayside because of the fact they lose confidence about being a Christian. And it's because they put unrealistic hope on someone or something that cannot satisfy. But the Lord always satisfies. Listen, there's never a time that Christ is not sufficient for us. There's never a time when his grace is not there for us. There is never a time where you cannot be encouraged by the presence of God's moving and blessing in your life. He is your creator. Hallelujah. I'm going to rejoice in that he created me the way he did. He's my redeemer. I'm going to rejoice and be confident that I'm saved and going to heaven tonight because he's the one that redeemed me through the blood that was shed on Calvary. But I'm going to be confident tonight that he's going to keep me and care for me. If God be for us, who can stand against us? That's what Paul said. Now listen, if God cares for you that much, why should we fear what man can do to us? I never forgot old Dr. Point's words when he was here years ago before he went to heaven and his life was being threatened. He told these men that were threatening his life, he just simply said, "You kill me, I win." That's it. Amen. See, he had a confidence in the Lord that removed fear of what man could do to him. Because he was confident in the fact that, wait a minute, no matter what happened, God created him in who he was with a perfect will and direction and purpose in his life. Because God redeemed his soul from the bondage of sin that was in his life. And because of that, that he was placed in the hand of God and God would care for him and his life was hid in Christ, and man cannot take your life away from you until it is in the middle of the will of God and God says it's time to come home to glory. Amen. And so what happens? You lose? You never lose as a Christian. There's never a time when you lose as a Christian. Everything we are as a Christian is gain. And so why don't we just have confidence in the Lord? That's where I'm going to put my confidence. Amen. And God know this, there ain't much in this world that you can put your confidence in, that's for sure. But I'm glad that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the Lord. He changes not. And I'm thankful that he is connected with me and he helps me when I feel that I can't go on. And he'll help you too. Your confidence needs to be in the Lord. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for giving us hope tonight. Lord, I love preaching on the redemption of God and the creation of God. I love preaching on the ability of God to care for us, Lord, because you've demonstrated over and over and over and over and over again that, God, we are precious in your sight. And, God, you have a plan and a will and a desire to strengthen us and lift us up and to bless us and to use us in a powerful way, irregardless of what's going on in this world. And so, Lord, will you give us hope tonight? Will you encourage our hearts tonight? Will you give us a zeal and excitement to continue on? Will you bring us to a place where we just completely live with a spirit of confidence in that our God will never abandon us? You've done that with Israel over and over again. Hallelujah, Lord, you're doing it in our life today. I pray that if someone's here tonight is not saved, they have no hope, they need confidence of salvation, I pray they would come and be saved. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.